This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
What's going on, Walking Dead fans? It is the mid-season finale of The Walking Dead, Season 10, Episode 8, The World Before. Dante gets what he finally deserves. After Mary's info, our group tries to find the Horde. Meanwhile, Michonne's group finds a stranger who may be able to thwart Alpha's plans. We've got our news and gossip, we've got MVP of the episode, and we've got our favorite kill. We've got a lot more. Don't move away.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, Buzz.
I hope you guys are still with us and you didn't move away.
Don't move away.
What's going on, guys? I'm Timothy Michael. We are very excited to be here for the mid-season finale of The Walking Dead. We've got our lights. I've got a beautiful panel with me. We've got a lot going on tonight.
You're the beauty.
You're the beauty. Speaking of beauties, April Wisdom Hand.
What's up, everybody? So happy to be here.
And another beauty dead on the end.
Oh, why, thank you, man.
Benny Adams.
What's up, guys? Benny Adams here.
I'm sure there are a lot of beautiful people watching us as well. Tonight, we are very excited to have everybody in the chat. April is on the chat. We're going to be giving some shout-outs. Hopefully, at the end of the episode, you guys can get in some calls to hear your thoughts on the episode, probably during predictions. We want to hear what you guys have to think of the mid-season finale. For the time being, I want to know what your overall thoughts were for the episode.
You know, it was so crazy because I was saying to Benny earlier, everything that we said in our after show last week is a total wash. Like, it just doesn't matter anymore because I was expecting the rest of the season to move forward, basically being, how do they find out about Dante? How does all of this happen? And then, obviously, that's not going to happen. Yeah. So it went a different way than I thought it was going to go. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. There were a lot more questions than answers, which I expected. You know, we did get some answers with, you know, how this guy was able to infiltrate where these people live. But, you know, now it's the question is, you know, how are they going to get out of this huge walker infested hole that they fell in? You know, is this sickness going to go away that these people are dealing with? But overall, I thought it was a good episode.
So, unfortunately, I wasn't here last week, but I do have to give props to Benny because he called the whole Dante situation.
Oh, my God.
Like, weeks ago, which I thought was brilliant because after you said it, it planted a seed. And I was like, okay, so I was expecting it when it happened last week. But good for you, Benny, for calling that, because
thanks,
I didn't,
man.
I was like, what is going to happen with Dante? You didn't trust, well, I guess we all didn't trust him.
We didn't trust him.
Yeah. There was something off about
him.
Yeah,
yeah.
So, well, we finally see what happens to him tonight. We're going to talk about it, but first I want to talk about the beginning of the episode with this flashback with how Dante even got into infiltrate our group. So, pretty much Alpha sent him on this mission. He was newer to the Whisper group, and I thought the way that they did it was actually very smart, because the way that I thought they were going to, like, explain how this all went down was Dante was rescued from our group. But the way that they did it with him infiltrating another group and having them all go into our Alexandria group was actually a lot smarter, because then that group is vouching for the person that they found. We rescued him. He's part of our group. So technically they're vouching for him. So he's not just a stranger. I thought that the way that they did it was pretty smart.
It was. And I mean, it made it be impossible almost for them to turn him away, because it's just like, I mean, this is much later in the episode, but when Michonne says to the people at Oceanside, she's like, how do you get the, like, you need to vet these people more. What are you asking them? And then we even see that scene with Gabe rewatching the video. It was a good reminder to see that they are still doing that, because we haven't seen evidence of that in a while. But yeah, it was super smart. And we say every single week that Alpha is so smart, but she just keeps on proving it more and more and more that she's smarter than I even think she is.
Yeah.
And bouncing off of that, Alpha, she's a freaking genius to just be able to do all of that and to give him just complete instructions on everything, what to do. And there's nothing really they could have done with the whole asking the questions, because they're going to say what these people want to hear.
Right. Well, I was going to actually ask you guys that next is, you know, we see Michonne, and I don't want to jump too far ahead, but we see her at Oceanside telling them to, you know, like you said, April, vet them a little bit better, vet these people.
Right.
But whether Dante was in this group or if he was just found by himself solo, mm-hmm. how, and even if they knew that people were infiltrating before Dante even got there, mm-hmm. How do you prevent that? That's like, I guess that's what's scary about the entire mm-hmm. thing is that how do you really prevent that? Because Benny, like you said, they could just literally make up a story beforehand, memorize it, and then once they get into the group.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, they used to go further with the vetting of the people. So, you know, they ask you the questions, how many walkers, mm-hmm. where are you from, yada, yada, yada. But in the past, we've seen them like actually go and look and see, okay, is this place where this person says they've been actually a thing? Unless, yeah. you know, they were like, I've just been wandering all these years.
Yeah.
But at this point, they can't do that. Or it's almost like, you know, I don't want to say not worth their time, but kind of not worth their time. And so it's like, if a person seems a certain way and, you know, they're never going to really say no, which mm-hmm. is the problem.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing can be perfect. We would be screaming and yelling if they weren't letting anybody in like we were before.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, it happens.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it comes down to it. Like, it just, you have to have your gut instinct. Mm-hmm. And that's what it comes down to it. Like, even with this guy, you know, some people really didn't fully trust him mm-hmm. all the way. So you just got to go with your gut.
Yeah, but even with their gut, I mean, Aaron says it in the episode, like, he's been living with them for 4 months.
Yeah.
And nobody knew anything. And Michonne, we know, her gut is pretty good when it comes to stuff like this.
Mm-hmm. She was so mad.
Yeah. Yeah.
But she hasn't been there enough, I feel like. Or she hasn't, no, I don't want to say enough, but right. She hasn't been there much.
No, but you're right. She hasn't been there enough. She's been dealing with everything else.
Yeah.
They've got a lot going on. I mean, and let's talk about that really quick. You know, Dante's been busy sabotaging literally everything at mm-hmm. Alexandria. You know, he was infiltrated, we find out, to pretty much stir the pot, create even more paranoia about the Whisperers. So I was actually surprised that he was the one painting the whole Silence the Whisperers.
I was surprised at that too,
right?
For sure.
I thought it was like more of like a, like, I don't want to say a hate crime, but like against Lydia. You know what I mean?
I mean, it's just like she said, we've heard Alpha say so many times, and then we even hear Dante say it tonight. The best way to really break people down and break this community apart is to break them in, you know, within themselves.
Yeah.
So it's people start, you know, getting a little paranoid. Why is this happening? Oh, you did this without my permission or without my consent, whatever. And then they start fighting amongst themselves, and that's what breaks them down. Now, add to that, you know, poisoning the water or, you know, giving them not clean water and all of these people being sick and no one being able to find out or why for the longest time either. I mean, yeah, that's the ultimate way. But it just begs the question still. Obviously, Alpha's doing this because of Lydia still being there, or she thinks she's still there anyway. But I'm like, I'm just curious as to how no one else has caught on, meaning in her group. Like, why are they not sitting there and being like, oh, why are we paying all this extra special attention to Alexandria when we've never done this before, as far as we know anyway, with any other group?
Right. Yeah, I what happened was just all the chaos just caused complete confusion in the community. But for Dante was new with the Whisperers, right? Yeah. And so is that why he didn't know, or Lydia didn't know him?
Yes.
Right. Okay, exactly. That's what I was confused about. Okay.
Yeah.
But she trusted him enough to say that her daughter was still alive.
Yeah.
That's what kills me, because that was a major, major secret. He could have very easily gone off.
Right, because he's brand new. And so why would you trust him but not trust Beta or...
I don't know. Alpha has this really weird... I mean, she had to trust him, because once he went over there...
Yeah.
I mean, here's my question. And maybe these are like just little plot holes of the episode that they might have missed. But if Lydia was gone by the time he got there because he was so new, then Lydia didn't know what he looked like because she wasn't there by the time he was there. Mm-hmm. But if she was, you're right, Benny. Why would Alpha trust him so much not to go up to Lydia and be like, I'm from the Whisperers,
to tell everybody else, hey, this major thing you're telling everybody is a lie.
Yeah.
So why did she, I mean, I guess she just had brainwashed him, brainwashed him enough at that point, mm-hmm. but she didn't want anyone else to know. So I guess that...
Maybe she just thought he was disposable and no one would listen to him anyway since he's brand new.
Maybe.
And then possibly. If he did spill the beans, she could just kill him.
Yeah, that's true. A good point too. Let us know what you guys think in the chat because we have some questions, clearly. Mm-hmm. So he kills Cheryl, which I thought was a bummer because I was really starting to like her.
Yeah.
But that brought up another question for me. So the whole drinkable, undrinkable, the whole water fiasco that Dante has caused, I honestly don't think that it's life-threatening.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it makes the people really, really sick, but nobody actually has died from it. He had to go and suffocate her for her to die.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So and she was older.
Right.
So I don't think that this sickness or whatever it is they're getting from the water is actually fatal. I just think it's making them weak.
Right.
Well, I mean, hopefully it's going to be figured out now. Actually, I mean, they probably won't, like, fully address it again. But because Sadiq is the only one who really realized it and then obviously didn't say anything to anyone. I mean, at first I thought it was because at first I was like, oh, they're just drinking Walker blood.
Right.
But it wasn't even actually that. It was literally just because he flipped the pipe or flipped the switch or whatever.
Yeah, because they have a water filtration system, which is actually pretty cool. Yeah.
Exactly. So, yeah, I agree. I don't think it's deadly, but like, obviously, people are sick left and right.
Yeah.
And even Rosita, you can tell that she's getting better. You know, she's not as pale anymore.
Yeah.
She can fight now. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe she won't die.
Well, she was good in the last episode when she dove into the water to save Sadiq.
So, yeah.
And that really caught me out of nowhere because I was like, wait, aren't you supposed to be like, you can't even get up and walk? So how are you swimming? But I guess
she started to get better.
True
that
love.
Good of a doctor to, you know, started saving people with all of his remedies that he was creating. So Dante, we see kill Sadiq for the first time.
Yeah.
And that's when we have this really intense scene with Rosita and the baby and Dante. Mm-hmm. And this is the Rosita that I missed.
Yeah.
Like the way that she handled Dante with the baby, she had to kill Sadiq, but not, she didn't even blink an eye. Like most people would be like, oh, I don't know. I even think Carol would have been like, I don't know. But Rosita was like, got to do what I got to do and protect my baby.
Yeah.
So this is the Rosita that I missed. How did you guys feel about this scene?
I absolutely loved it because so many people debated last week. We don't actually think Sadiq is alive. And so the episode started and I was like, he's dead,
he's
y'all.
Dead.
He's officially dead.
I was
dead.
Like, I thought he was faking at first. I'm not going to lie.
When he did this again, like when you see Dante do that, I was like, oh, he probably knows how to like slow his heart rate down. But because so many
people...
I didn't. Like, I definitely thought he was dead.
Okay.
But then so many people were like, maybe he's still alive. We didn't see him die. That's what happens in The Walking Dead. But then... When you hear, I just never expected it to happen in this way. So I thought that was just like great writing for Rosita to come in. And then the only reason she realizes it is because he starts to turn into a walker and starts to make the noise.
Yeah.
Like, I just never expected that to happen. Mm-hmm. I was like, she can tell that he's being weird, but he almost got away with it by just being like, yeah, he left. You can go check him. And then Sadiq just had to wake up, I guess. But I love the scene. It was probably my favorite scene of the episode. And because I was like, oh my gosh, Sadiq is literally, I mean, I say this and I'm like, oh, they wouldn't do that. And then I'm like, yeah, they would. I was like, Sadiq is about to eat his own baby.
Oh like, my gosh.
And
that's
that would crazy. Have been so awful. But I thought it was going there for a second, but I'm really happy that it didn't.
Yeah.
I wasn't worried for the baby one bit. I knew Rosita would be there, you know, guns blazing. Yeah. And, you know, I loved that scene with them. And one thing that really got me was when he's coming towards her and she's holding the baby. And it's kind of like she's saying, like, 1 second, let me put the baby down.
Yes, yeah.
And then let me kick your butt.
Right.
Which I thought
Hold
was
on.
Awesome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which, and with all due respect to Dante, he is a gentleman because he could have easily attacked her with the baby in her hands.
Yeah.
Like a coward would do.
Right.
But he didn't. He was like, you know what? I'll let you put the baby down because it is innocent or however. I mean, he's a whisperer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, they've already left a baby in the middle of a field with walkers all around. So
Exactly. Maybe
the Alexandrians were rubbing off on Dante and his humanitarian side.
I mean, later in the episode, he did seem... he didn't seem remorseful, but he wasn't like the other whisperer that they captured that was like spitting Carol's face and did all of this stuff. He did see, you know, I actually, and maybe this is me just being naive and maybe this is what they want you to, but I believed when he said that like the Sadiq thing wasn't supposed to happen.
Right.
But then he's the one who clicked in Sadiq's ear to make him remember.
Right.
So I'm a little back and forth.
See, I was confused about that part because I always thought that this was like the main thing that he was supposed to do was to make Sadiq go crazy, pretty much. And so when he said, oh, Sadiq was never part of the plan, in my head, I was like, this guy's not telling the truth whatsoever because he was always with Sadiq.
Yeah.
I think he's Dante was just a little mental. So even though maybe that wasn't, or I don't think it was his main goal, he was just like, but let me mess with this dude a little bit because he's obviously messed up in the head.
Honestly, I don't think that was part of his plan at all. I think that he saw somebody suffering and he saw what Sadiq was going through. And even though he caused he was part of what Sadiq was going through, or the reason why Sadiq was going through what he was going through, he still wanted to help him in some really crazy way. But my thing is, if you knew that you were a part of this whole thing that happened with the beheadings, and you were there, and you literally were the one who made
Sadiq
watch this whole thing, why would you at all get closer to him? Because you knew that you'd had to have known that there was a possibility that he would remember you.
Well, that's why I say it is. I think it's partially because he is just a little mental, meaning Dante. Because I watched this like after the episode thing. This isn't a spoiler, by the way. It's just an extra little. An actor who plays Sadiq said that was Dante's point. Mm. Not that that's what he was there for, but he was like, he was trying to. He was making Sadiq remember because it was like, toying with him all the time.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you brought that up because I was a little like...
That does clear things.
Yeah, I honestly wanted Dante to... kind of have been changing for good, if you will.
I thought throughout the episode, I was like, he could be the one to do it if there was one. But Gabe shut that down real quick.
Yeah.
Yes. And we're going to talk about that. So upon interrogating Dante, after Rosita didn't kill him, which was actually surprising because I thought she would. Mm-hmm. So she showed a lot of self-control doing that. They pretty much make this decision that they have to go after this hoard that Aaron found out from Mary. We learned her name. Gamma's name is Mary. That they have to go after this hoard in order to stop it so that Alpha can lose most of her power. Because that's pretty much what she's been holding over their heads. And then we have this moment between Carol and Daryl. Once again, the spinoff show, if you will. And Carol lied to Daryl about why Lydia left, which isn't surprising me because, and we'll talk about it later on in the episode when they have their confrontation, but it didn't surprise me that she lied. It did surprise me that Daryl didn't press it more.
I think he could tell that she was lying and didn't want to press it because she's gone. What can you do? He's like, the mission now is just to look for her. But I mean, to me anyway, I felt like he obviously knew she wasn't being truthful. And she wasn't even acting like she was being truthful. She wasn't trying very hard to lie. Well, she was just like, well, that's what happened.
And there's no dealing with Carol when she's in that type of headspace. When she wants to do something or when she has her mind set on something, she's going to do it. Whether it's lying, whether it's trying to go after Alpha, she's going to do what she wants to do. And Daryl knows that.
Yeah.
I'm going to say I think Carol is being a little too reckless right now.
Agreed.
Because she is making these decisions, not sure they're based off of wanting to save everyone and wanting to end the war and whatever, but she's actually more so making them off of her emotions.
Yeah.
And she is putting a lot of other people in jeopardy without consulting anybody.
Right.
And it's just not fair that since the beginning of the show, that's not how they've ever done things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, you're putting a lot of people in jeopardy to do these things that you don't even know that you're fully capable of yourself. Mm-hmm. Now, Carol is a full-on BA, and I love her so much, but like, I just think she's being a little too... And obviously I'm taking into account the rest of the episode, but
she's also being very cocky, and that cockiness is showing that that's her weakness as well.
And we've seen it time and time again, characters go through these grief stages where it's all consuming of this grief that's inside of them. And then they make these rash decisions and we usually see what happens to them and it's not good. So we'll talk more about what's going on with Carol, but I do want to finish up the Rosita storyline. So obviously Rosita's grieving Sadiq and she goes outside to kind of relieve some stress with these walkers and has a close call with some of them. Eugene comes and saves the day, which the only reason I want to bring this up is do you guys think that there is a way, now that Sadiq is out of the picture, that maybe Rosita and Eugene will have something?
Yes!
Really?
I kind of do too.
I know, me too. I think they're trying to force it on us, you guys, and I don't appreciate
what?
It.
What?
I don't force it. I don't appreciate it either, but tonight is the first night. Now, I'm not saying I would be on board. I'm not saying I would like it. I'm not saying I think it will happen, but tonight's the first night that I was like, you're both acting in a way as if, and I mean literally like the actors acting.
Yes.
In a way as if like, okay, there could be some sort of interest there. Before it is, even like, even though Eugene like professes his love, I'm still like, you don't seem like you like want her bod. Like you just seem, you know, whatever.
But tonight, want her bod, April?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. But tonight it was just, there was, I'll say a little chemistry.
Okay, fair. Yeah.
I am 100% here for it all day, every day. I love their chemistry. I like how, if the writers are trying to do this, mm-hmm. I like how they're taking their time with it. Mm-hmm. And it's starting out very raw and just going very, very slowly and just not rushing into it. Like the other two relationships Rosita was in. When we saw them, she was just bam, right in there.
Yeah. So, with Gabriel.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. So I'm really glad that, you know, they're taking their time with it and it's starting off as a friendship and then just working its way up. And it seems like Eugene is finally going to get the girl.
I hate it. Let us know what you guys think of Rosita and Eugene too.
But you know, I do think though that maybe Gabe doing what he did to Dante could bring them together though.
Which,
also,
I'm glad you brought that up because it brings me to my next point. There is this really intense moment between Gabe and Dante. Mm-hmm. Now, we all know how I feel about Father Gabe's character. Yes. I do not like him. And when he went inside the cell and he left it open, I honestly, at this moment, thought that Dante was going to get the better of him mm-hmm. and escape. Mm-hmm. That obviously didn't happen. They had this really intense, you know, pretty much Dante saying, you know, it's the human's fault on why the world ended, so why do we deserve a second chance to take it back? Mm-hmm. And Father Gabe, being a man of faith, is all about second chances, but not in this instance. Mm-hmm. He kills Dante, which surprised the hell out of me.
I think that's what he meant by second chance, though.
What do you mean?
When Eugene said it. Not Eugene, I'm sorry. Eugene on the brain. When Gabriel said it.
Yeah.
He says, he's, you know, talking about how he's done bad things and whatever, and he says, he's like, maybe Rosita will hate me for this because, you know, Sadiq was my brother. My family will never be the same. His daughter will never know him. You've changed my life forever. And then he's like, Rosita may hate me because I didn't protect her more.
Yeah.
We don't always get second chances, but sometimes we do.
Oh.
And then he stabs him. And I was like, it's your second chance to protect her.
Yeah, but then he starts crying about it, and it kind of nullified the badassery of the moment, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, because he was like, dang, that sucks. I did just, like, flat out murder this dude. So that's not fun.
I think this was just all of this aggression he's been holding in just for however long, and he just let it all out.
Yeah.
And I think that's what happened, because he didn't just kill the guy. He brutally murdered the guy without even blinking an eye.
Yeah, it was pretty it was pretty brutal. Yeah. I think that was a lot of frustration coming out of Father Gabe, but it was one of my favorite moments for him because
really
I think Dante deserved it. I'm sorry, but he did.
Yeah, hands down.
So
absolutely.
I mean, out of all this talk, like, Negan deserved it, nobody did that to him. A lot of people have deserved it and never got what they deserved, and Dante was one of those people that definitely deserved it.
And now that you say that, I think that's what it was. You know, we see all of these big bad guys mm-hmm. not really get what they deserve.
Yeah.
And I think that's what he saw. This was another mm-hmm. guy who was going to just be able to walk free or just stay a prisoner and get treated almost as equal as them. And he was just tired of that. And he was over that.
Yeah.
And that's what they all say. They're like, even Dante, he's like, you're not going to do anything. Yeah. I'm just going to mm-hmm. be another Negan. Yada, yada, yada. And, you know, they have to. They have this council, whatever. But Gabe was like, F you, council.
It's pretty much. Before we get to the next topic, because I want to talk about, you know, everybody going to the borderline and then trying to find this horde, I'm going to shoot it over to Benny for some words.
Yeah, so we here at AfterBuzz just want to thank you guys for making us the ESPN and TV talk. And in order for us to grow, we need your help. So if you're on YouTube right now, go ahead and give us a thumbs up. If you're on iTunes, go ahead and give us a 5-star. Working at AfterBuzz means so much to us. And we just want to continue to give you guys amazing content.
Oh,
thank
yeah.
Thank you, guys. We love you guys. We do this show for you. It's our mid-season finale. We're going to miss you guys. We're not. We don't come back until February.
Oh, my gosh. It's so long.
Yes, I know. But you guys, we will be coming back. But yeah, let us know maybe some shout-outs. Who's in the chat, April?
Oh, my gosh. We have so many people in the chat right now. And y'all are lit. I love it. We got Nina Murphy, Glow Loves Jomo, Toes Girls. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, so I'm so sorry. Give me shelter. You know, everybody's chatting. Apparently, there was a sneak peek to the second half of next
there was.
Second half on Talking Dead.
Yes.
And you would like that.
Yes.
I missed it.
Oh no.
I saw like the preview that they aired like right after the show.
Well,
ended.
We're going to have to watch it right after this episode because we need to know. Guys, we're also going to try to get to some call-ins at the end of the episode. The number is going to be 424-354-8302. We're going to try to put that up on the screen so you guys could all see it. But if you didn't, or if you could put it in the chat, April,
because
she's amazing. Of course she did. We will do call-ins at the end of the episode. Alrighty, guys? So save your thoughts for then.
Yes.
So let's talk about Daryl, Carol, Aaron. Mm-hmm. They meet up with Magna, Jerry, Connie, and Kelly, which is good to see them again because I thought they were just going to go the whole episode without... Same. Our other group.
Like we did with Negan.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes. Oh, I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
And they're going to the borderline after Mary's information to kind of, you know, find the hordes. So they're going to cross into the territory.
Right.
Now, this is what bothers me about this entire thing. So Alpha has all of these stipulations on you can't cross the borderline. And if you do, you have to give me more land and blah, 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 blah. But she's been messing with them since the beginning of the agreement.
Right.
So I think that them going into the borderline, and I think we touched on this before, her sending these walkers over, her doing the drinking water, her planting people since the beginning,
right.
4 months ago, I think nullifies this entire agreement. So you can't be mad that we're going into the border. That's just not a thing.
But they're not doing anything to her because she's the one that said it.
Yes.
So they don't have stuff to, like, you know, go and murder all of them because she would just set the horde free.
Yeah.
So it is just she says what to do and that's it.
Yeah.
I just, like, I feel like they've dealt with worse when it comes to walkers. They've dealt with hundreds of walkers before and killing walkers before. So I'm just like, why don't they just storm the wherever she is and just kill her?
Yeah.
That's the logical thing to do. She's not like her horde isn't directly behind her. So find her. Kill her.
They don't have guns.
But I think it's because she has so many people underneath her that would. Yeah. And we just saw it with this guy that they took prisoner last week. These people who are like undoubtedly devoted to her. They will follow out the plan that she has. I'm sure she's given it to Beta, Gamma. I'm sure she's given it to a whole bunch of people if anything should happen to her.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that that's a risk I would be willing to take if I was our group either.
Really?
I guess it's just like, I think with what they were dealing with Negan, obviously taking the horde out of it was worse.
Yeah.
Because back then they had more technology, they had more weapons, they had all of this. So it just seems a little like... You know, I don't want to say our group's being weak, but it seems like they're being a little weak.
I think they're being very weak.
I think they're being smart, except for this moment, and we're going to talk about it now. So our group gets to the place that Mary told them about this, and there's this field, and there's nothing there. There's nothing there, essentially. And, you know, Aaron still believes that this place is important. Daryl's like, screw it, let's go find Lydia.
Yeah.
And then on the way back to finding Lydia... We see this once again. They love these intense moments between Alpha and Carol. These like long distance stare-offs.
Like stare-offs.
Yeah, exactly. And so Carol just jets after her, and pretty much falls inside of this cave. And this is where we see where the horde is. Now, did you think that Mary was lying, or do you think that Alpha told her to see if she was? There's like so many ways that we could spin this. Like, Alpha told her that they were going to be in the field, but she wanted to see how loyal she was.
Mm-hmm.
Or Alpha knew that she would say something, so she moved them.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be a lot harder to move a whole horde like that. Yeah. What do you guys think?
Alpha doesn't know that Gamma knows that Lydia is alive at this point.
True.
So I don't think it's just like it's a secret where the horde is, meaning because I think even the man knew, the man that they kept in the prison cell or whatever. So I think that, you know, technically anyone could find out. I think Mary or Gamma was actually being truthful, but maybe that's me being naive.
See, but from my understanding, a couple of episodes ago, Alpha was seeing that Gamma, she was starting to get swayed somewhat by these people. And so I do think that Alpha told her something knowing that she would go and tell these guys where the walkers are, even if they're not there.
Hmm. Let us know what you guys think. So pretty much our group is stuck on this rock mm-hmm. in the middle of this horde. Mm-hmm.
I was so mad. It was all Carol's fault.
I mean, they're in a cave.
It was all Carol's fault.
So how do they get out? This is what, like, Angela King was talking about the episode, and she was like, we like to put our people in these impossible positions and see what they can do to get out. Obviously, true. We know they have to get out somehow, of course, otherwise the show isn't going to continue. Right. But it's just like, where did Alpha go? Did Carol lose her along the way? Carol was running after her. I mean, she literally just ran into a cave. She didn't, like, run around the cave first to see if she went there. Like, so DG just said in chat, which is this hilarious, they need Rambo Carol, not Psycho Carol.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good point.
They do. Like, I liked in that moment that Carol ran after her, because I was like, I mean, she's there. She sees you already. Are you really just going to give it up?
Yes.
You have to go. But, like, dear gosh, they're in a predicament.
Well, I mean, the good news is they found the horde. Yay, they found the horde. So let's see how they deal with it. I want to talk about Yima Shone's group. So they finally get to Oceanside to kind of let them know about everything that has happened at Alexandria, the infiltration of Dante and all this other stuff. And we have this library scene where Jacob almost gets attacked and he gets saved by this stranger. We find out his name is Virgil. Mm-hmm. And we find Virgil is actually going to be a very important character to our group, because he apparently lives on a naval base and they might have weapons that can help Michonne's group destroy this horde.
Right.
Did you guys see that turn in direction? Because I surely did not.
No, until it was happening.
Yes.
I was like, oh, who is this man? And how is this going to, you know? We know she's leaving the show. I do not think this was her exit.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was like, what a graceful way to take her out for a little bit.
Yeah.
No, I didn't see that happening. But it just seems like they say that the place where the naval base that he's been living on is a 2-day boat ride away. That's not that far. You know, we also do the after show for Fear of the Walking Dead, and we know what happens on a boat. I just think, you know, it leads up to, you know, Michonne coming back in, guns a-blazing, saving everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's I'm definitely interested in seeing where this is all going to go. I'm still a little cloudy on, you know, this new character that was introduced and this new place that was introduced. So it's definitely going to be interesting, but
yeah. In terms of a mid-season finale, I think, like you said in the beginning of the episode, Benny, there were a lot of more questions than answers, which is good, because they want to keep us on, you know, our toes. They want to keep us thinking about, like, what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
Did I think that it was a strong mid-season finale? No, if I'm being honest. But you know how The Walking Dead does it. Sometimes their mid-season finales are weak, just like what happened with Negan.
Right.
And everybody was like, what happened? And then we come back the episode right after the break and something huge happens.
Right.
So the writers do this to us all the time.
I mean, last week, the penultimate episode in a lot of shows is sometimes bigger because they need you to, like, calm a little bit before, you know, a major break in the show. But
and it definitely keeps us on our toes.
Yeah.
You know,
for sure.
And it definitely, for me, it wasn't one of those episodes where I'm like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to forget all about next season.
Yeah.
Like, I'm still going to be what's going to happen once the season comes back. And
I think they did it in a way where they tied up some things that we had to know, but now it's just like kind of an open canvas with a few other things.
That's a good point. On that note, you guys, that is our review of season 10, episode 8, the mid-season finale of The Walking Dead, called The World Before. We are going to move into our special segments. We always love our special segments.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to go into the MVP of the episode, who we thought was the MVP of this episode. Mm. It's got to be unanimous, you guys.
Okay.
Who are you, real MVP? Who do you guys think it should be this episode?
Ooh.
Oh, that's hard.
I was either gonna say
Michonne?
I was gonna say Rosita.
I was gonna say Father Gabe.
I was gonna say Father Gabe as well.
No.
Rosita or Gabe?
Gabe, I say Rosita.
Let's go with Rosita.
Okay, we're going with Rosita.
We're going with Rosita, guys. That is our MVP of the episode. Let us know your MVP of the episode. I think Father Gabe was a close runner up.
Yeah.
If he didn't cry, he might have won.
He annoys me.
He had to cry.
His character annoys me for some reason.
You guys.
No,
same. So we're gonna go on to our favorite kill, you guys. I think this is going to be pretty unanimous. I mean, favorite kill would have to be Father Gabe killing Dante.
I got one.
Oh,
I got one.
Go ahead.
Why am I blanking on the name?
Oh, he's got one. He's got one.
The daughter of Judith? Rick, Judith. Yeah. Her kill. When they were fighting all those walkers. On the,
after she cut Virgil's leg.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, that was a good one, too.
That was pretty cool.
She sliced and diced him,
She sliced and diced it everywhere. She learned from the best.
She's Mini Michonne.
Exactly. Let's move into our news and gossip. I'm going to shoot it over to Benny because apparently he's got some fun stuff for us.
Yeah, so real quick, because I know we're short on time. This first one is some good news about one of our favorite characters, Maggie. We said she was going to be coming in on season 11, so it turns out that she's actually going to come back in the second half of season 10.
I knew it.
Only thing
is, there's no way.
We don't know what episode it's going to be.
Okay.
So it could be like the season finale of season 10.
I don't care. I'm okay with that. I need to be her.
But
I need for her to be.
She will for sure be a series regular in season 11.
Yay!
So excited.
Good. She learned her lesson after Whiskey Cavalier failed. Sorry, Maggie Coates.
Love you.
And then this next one, I'm excited for the third Walking Dead franchise. It's going to be really exciting. It's called World Beyond. Here's a trailer, a teaser trailer of it.
Yeah, if you guys haven't seen it, you could definitely go on YouTube and figure it out. I'm excited about this trailer, you guys. It looks
very different. It looks like it's going to have like a very different approach. Each
like World
Walking
War Z.
Dead yes. series.
That was a helicopter.
Yeah.
No way. I haven't seen this yet.
That's the same symbol as the helicopter. On the helicopter.
Sorry, my God.
I can't wait till we get to predictions.
Yeah, okay. Well,
I have predictions.
Same. Do you have any more news and gossip?
No, that is
it. Okay, that's it, guys. We're going to move into predictions. Guys, April, go ahead and put that phone number in the chat again.
Oh, yes.
So that you guys could call up. While we're doing that, we're going to move into our predictions.
Yeah. So, what I think, after seeing that, I honestly think Rick is where those kids live.
What kids?
In the new show.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
In the new show. Because we see that helicopter, and I don't know. It's just, it's all coming together slowly but surely.
Yeah.
So I have a feeling that they're going to be there.
Interesting.
I think that, I do not think that where Virgil is where Rick is. But I think in some way, his group, we have to start thinking about Michonne's exit. And that's what we're going to talk about a lot in the second half, of course.
Yep.
But I think that they could have potentially had some sort of contact with his group. They are at a naval base. What's at a naval base? A lot of powerful radios and things like
Very
that.
True.
A lot of places where a helicopter could potentially land, because that could be where they're like, this person is alive and she goes to try to find him.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. When he said he was from a naval base, I automatically went to Rick as well.
Yeah.
Do I think that he's there? No, I think that'd be too easy.
Oh, no, he's not there.
Obviously not.
He's not there.
Guys, we have a very short amount of time, so if you are in the chat and you want to give us a call, go ahead and give us a call. I want to know what you guys think about Lydia. Where do you guys think Lydia is going to go?
I don't care.
You don't care? honestly, I'm like...
Her character isn't that exciting to me that much.
Not anymore.
For this episode,
not
I anymore. Was just, I forgot all about her.
I was like, you got pissed at Carol. I get it. But also, like, she. What do you expect?
But the fact that she compared her to her mother was totally unfair.
Right. I'm like, she's not beating you. She
literally didn't behead like
hey,
eight people for you.
Yeah.
She gave you a normal life, some good food, some nice clothes. You don't have to wear a dead man's mask on you. You
got it good.
I do have a prediction about that field, though, you guys, because we saw that field right before Carol ran off into the cave and put them in this horrid predicament. But we see right before she goes AWOL, her looking at this field like something is clicking in her mind. And, you know, I always trust Aaron's opinion about things when he says, you know, this field has to be important. Mm-hmm. I do think that it will be important. Mm-hmm. I think that maybe once they get all those weapons or something like that, they will lure the Horde to this field and plant weapons there, maybe blow them up.
Ooh, I like that.
I don't know. That's my prediction.
I love that.
For killing the Horde.
I also think Negan, who I completely forgot about this episode until I saw a preview for the next...
The second half of the season,
I think Negan is going to be the one to rescue them.
I ultimately think Negan's going to be on our team's side as well.
Of course.
That's how he continues on the show for as long as he wants to be on the show. He comes to our side.
Yeah, we've predicted who is going to kill Alpha throughout the entire season.
Yeah.
We had said Negan. I don't think that it will be Negan. I think that Negan will get it... make an opportunity for somebody else to take down Alpha. I don't think that Negan's gonna do it. I don't think he deserves
no,
it.
No, I don't think Negan's going to do it either.
Yeah. So those are our predictions, you guys. We get if you're a little shy, you don't want to give us a call. That's okay. We're going to obviously open up to more calls later on in the season. We will be back in February, of course.
We actually do have one phone call.
We do have one phone call. Let's close it out with a phone call, you guys. How's it going?
Hello, this is Candace Tapes.
Hi.
AKA Tapes Girl.
Where are you from?
I'm from Alberta, Canada.
Oh, nice. Awesome.
Different country. Candace, what are your thoughts on the episode?
I really liked it. Like you guys said, I have more questions than answers, but that's, I guess, what they want, right?
Yeah, of course.
Apparently.
Of course. What do you think of them being stuck in the cave? Do you think they're going to... Obviously, they're probably going to get out, but do you think they're going to get out unscathed?
No. I did watch the preview, and spoiler alert, there was looking like there is a couple of guys that... might not make it.
I really saw that too.
They're going through the cave, but yeah.
I don't know, Candace, because I mean, they've showed us teasers before and then they totally mislead us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it could be something completely different. But I do agree with you, though. I don't think that they are going to get out of this cave unscathed.
Me either.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Wouldn't be The Walking Dead if
but
they
I
did.
Just want to say thank you so much for everything that you guys do. And
so
After
sweet.
Buzz, I love. All of, like, I watch multiple shows and try to catch as many lives as I can, and you guys are awesome. Thanks for doing what you do, and just keep up the great work.
You're so
thank
sweet.
You.
Thank you so much.
So nice
thank
you,
Candace. So stay warm in Canada, okay?
Yes.
Oh, thank you. I'll try.
Thank Have you a for good calling.
One. On that note, I think that's a very good way to end the episode, you guys. Thank you, Candace, for that awesome call. Where can our fans find you guys?
Y'all can find me everywhere at April with some hands.
And you guys can find me on all social media at Benny J. Adams.
If you guys are so jealous of Candace for getting to talk to us, like I said, we're going to be opening calls in February when we come back, you guys, for the second half of season 10. I am Timothy Michael. You can find me everywhere at I am Timothy Mike. We'll see you guys in February.
See you guys later.
Bye, guys.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principal.